Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. I was asking y'all, you know, who is this? And y'all both got silent on me. You know,
Noel reached into the bag for this.
My bad, Digital Planets, Greg.
I mean, y'all just leave me hanging out there. Say again, Noel.
Digital Planets.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure we got all that. Do we have our guest? Because I want to find out if he's enjoying this.
We have a little upright bass, man. Everybody love a little upright bass.
See, when we are like this, Sam and I, we FaceTime during these interview sessions, and he's over here acting like Ray Brown, who's an upright bass player, jazz player, and I'm just enjoying the you-know-what out of it, but sometimes I got to like, oh, you asked for this, because when you start doing the instrument, the air instruments, I know you had something with the choice.
No, I didn't have anything to do with the choice this time. This is Noel, man.
All right.
She is freestyling.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and bringing on Myles Garrett. Listen, buddy, it's been a minute since we've talked to you, and I just want to let you set the tone for, you know, the last time we talked to you, you were in New Orleans. And take a minute and describe what that feeling was like. You're there for the Georgia game, and this stuff breaks out. Where were you, and what was your next day like?
Yeah, good morning, guys, first of all. But, it was pretty crazy because we were actually out there on Bourbon Street, you know, celebrating the new year. We were there with a bunch of media members. You know, it was myself, Maria Martin, Bailey Burmaster, Victor Prieto, a lot of people at these TV stations here celebrating the new year. You know, we walked into the hotel probably around, 2:30, 2:45. Of course, it was a pretty late night. And then as I walked into my hotel room, I kind of heard the gunshots, thinking they were fireworks. So we were basically right there. You know, it was two blocks away from our hotel. Certainly very grateful to not be out there a little bit longer than we were. But, the next day was pretty crazy. You instantly turn into news reporters, and you kind of switch that gear from sports to news, and you kind of have to see what happens basically the rest of the day, because I went down there to check out the scene, and I get a call in my pajamas while I'm down there checking it out from my boss saying, we need you live right now, in my baseball hat. So you kind of had to do that and adjust immediately. So that's really what happened. It was pretty crazy.
So, Miles, let me just back up for a minute. The timeline. You said you left just about a half hour before this all started. You get back to your room. You're thinking you just heard fireworks, and it must have been just a few hours later, because we came on 5 o'clock that morning. We got here and we started seeing the news reports from New Orleans. Was it shortly thereafter, 5, 6 in the morning, where you got the first call from your news director?
Oh, no. I mean, it was mostly just text messages from, you know, people I knew. I didn't wake up that day till probably, if I had to guess, I'd say around 8:30 local time. So about 9:30 Eastern. I woke up and looked down. I mean, you could see it right outside your window. You know, I saw all the cop cars down there, and, you know, I basically, like I said, just kind of went down there just to see what the scene was. So I'd probably say at around 10 o'clock Eastern was when I got down there and was like looking around. And that's when I really got the call from my boss that, you know, hey, we need you live right now.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning, and always great to be joined by Myles Garrett, and he is social. At Myles Garrett TV, at Myles Garrett TV. A little more on Georgia. Obviously, I mean, the disappointment of what's happening with the game, and then finding out what Coach Smart was dealing with in the aftermath. In general, just your thoughts on the postscript from the whole New Orleans experience for Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, of course, obviously a disappointing end to the season, to that game for Georgia. Notre Dame, of course, is no joke. I mean, they are here to play. I think we saw that against Penn State as well, and really obviously against Georgia too. They're one of the hottest teams in the country. They've got some dudes up front in the trenches that were really able to match toe-to-toe with Georgia. But I think that was a game that Georgia really kind of shot themselves in the foot, really. I mean, you look at some of the plays that cost them, whether that was the big play called back from a penalty, that throw to Arian Smith, the sideline warning, or the kickoff return, or then you have the strip sack fumble on Gunnar Stockton towards the end of the first half with just seconds remaining. I mean, there were just a lot of plays that really Georgia kind of killed themselves. The defense really kind of kept them in it. I thought Gunnar Stockton played a really good game, all things considered. But yeah, of course, you know, there was the whole outside influence of obviously what was going on, and then, you know, Sonny Smart as well. So Kirby Smart is very good. Of course, we know this, at compartmentalizing these things. Of course, I'm sure you can't imagine what he was actually going through at that time, but he's usually very good about getting his guys ready to play regardless. But yeah, no, I mean, the season's of course over now, so a lot of reflection and a lot of inbound changes. You know, you've already got the Branch brothers coming in. The transfer portal is very active. You know, Carson Beck now going to Miami. But, yeah, it's going to be a very different team coming in next year.
You know, it's funny. The two teams that Miles covers are both dealing with quarterback situations moving forward. We go from the Bulldogs to the Falcons. You cover them, too. And how that season, you know, how they trip and fell into that, and your outlook on what will happen next with these guys.
Yeah, the Falcons, gosh, it has been a crazy last couple of weeks for this team, right, with what we've seen from Michael Penix Jr., because I do think that is the one bright spot in, among a few, I think, of this team. You know, obviously the negative certainly outweighs everything based on how they finished and what the tone was on Terry Fontenot's end-of-season press conference. But, yeah, I mean, I do think you have something now in Michael Penix Jr. for the first time in really 4 years. There's no question marks, I think, right now on the quarterback position. Of course, you know, there is the chance that he could go out next year and, you know, all that progress is lost. But I do think in the three games you saw from Michael Penix Jr., he kind of showed you, yes, you know, he does have what it takes to be that franchise quarterback for the next few years, because there were a lot of flashes. So from the starting perspective, yes, it looks like you're all settled. Now, will the backup quarterback situation really be Kirk Cousins, as Terry Fontenot is telling us? I don't know. It's going to be tough to have, you know, $130 million, whatever, how much that contract is, just sitting on the bench and not playing, as Terry Fontenot seemed to suggest. I'm assuming that's basically, you know, code for saying he's ours until he isn't. You know, like it might be the Russell Wilson scenario last year where, you know, Denver is basically paying his contract while he signs a vet minimum somewhere else like Pittsburgh. So I'm assuming that's what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins. I just can't imagine having that much money just sitting on your bench. But yeah, I mean, obviously a very disappointing end of this season after all the money they invested specifically at that position to only win one more game.
Miles, thoughts about what he may mean for the rest of the offense? We saw him connect a great deal with Drake London. Of course, people want to see him connect some with the tight end. Could that be something that really, you know, energizes Kyle Pitts? The idea of having, you know, a change at quarterback, could that do it for him? What is it that's going to make the light bulb go on for this guy?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right? I mean, Terry Fontenot was even asked that at that end-of-season press conference, talking specifically about Kyle Pitts, and I did kind of appreciate his candidness on it. His response to it was, look, Kyle hasn't, you know, matched or exceeded his production from his rookie year, and he needs to get better, which is the truth. I mean, we've every year we almost kind of wait for Kyle Pitts to make a move and get better and turn that corner, you know, whether that was Kirk Cousins or now, you know, Michael Penix Jr. And of course there have been flashes. You know, you see that game winning catch against Washington, you know, it's probably the biggest catch of his entire Falcons career. So you would think that, especially with the chemistry, like you said, that you saw with Drake London here late in the season, that could translate to a guy like Kyle Pitts. But it's just been such a big question mark for the last few seasons because you don't know what you're going to get. Like even with Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heinicke, and Kirk Cousins, you know, you still saw production from Drake London. So the reason why you can't get that out of Kyle Pitts seems to still be kind of questionable, because they are kind of those same guys, you know, big playmakers on offense who are built to win one-on-one matchups. You know, I really love that Michael Penix Jr. just threw it up to Drake London on two plays there in the end zone. One goes out of bounds even after Drake catches it, so he goes right back to him and he catches it for the touchdown. I really love that trust there between the quarterback and the wide receiver, that relationship there. So I would hope to see that from Kyle Pitts, but fans, coaches, and now it seems like executives both agree that, you know, look, this guy's got to increase his own production.
From Fox 5, Myles Garrett, you can tell he follows the Falcons from soup to nuts all year long. And listen, we haven't heard your thoughts on the first guys given pink slips after this season. Your thoughts on Jimmy Lake, defensive coordinator, and Jay Rogers, defensive line coach, exiting out stage door left.
Yeah, no, I do think that one was kind of the writing on the wall, right? I mean, at the end of the last game, you know, they asked Raheem Morris about what happened, and he says, look, the defense didn't play to the standard. I think that quote in and of itself really kind of, you know, may have painted the picture, because that was a big question mark for this team. I mean, the offense were, or was rather, top 10 in almost every single statistical category, and you have that kind of influence of the quarterback position being up in the air for 4 weeks there with Kirk Cousins playing the way he was. So I think it was a situation that probably needed to happen. I'm not surprised that it happened. But now I think the big question is, who do you hire to replace him? That's going to be a really big hire for Raheem Morris, because look, Raheem Morris is a defensive minded guy. He supposedly took over bigger duties there in the final stretch of the season when they were able to get some more pressures on the quarterback, but it just all seemingly fell apart in that last game against Carolina. So there are some names out there to watch. Jeff Ulbrich, I tweeted out yesterday, probably a guy to look for. He's the guy Raheem Morris hired to be his full-time defensive coordinator when he was the interim head coach in Atlanta. Of course, he was the defensive coordinator in New York and the interim head coach when Robert Saleh got fired. But I do think a guy like Robert Saleh, honestly, would be a better hire just because of his pedigree, what he was able to do in San Francisco. A guy like Steve Wilks was at Falcons training camp quite a bit. So there are some names out there, but those are ones I certainly would watch going forward.
Right. Okay,
make it a quick. We're up against it, Miles. But Sam's got one last question for you.
Up against it, but before we go, what's priority now in free agency and the draft?
Quarterback pressure. Draft defense, please. I think that's the priority.
All right, there you go. You got the quick answer.
As long as
we're getting quick answers, let's go back to college again. Who's your pick for the 20th for the national championship?
Well, it's tough. There might be a little bit of bias here. I used to live in South Bend for 2 years covering the Irish, so I might have to go with the team of destiny here. But Ohio State looks really darn good. So if that bias wasn't there, I'd probably choose the Buckeyes.
Everybody is doing the same. If you ask them about their head, they're going Ohio State. You going with your heart, they're going Notre Dame. All right, who do you see coming out with the NFL playoffs?
Well, my dream matchup here would be a Lions-Bills Super Bowl, just because I think those are the two most lovable teams in the NFL right now. But, I mean, I don't see why not, right? I mean, the Lions have been the best team in the NFL. I don't think it's been a question this year. And I don't know, it just seems to be Josh Allen's type of year, where he's kind of finally getting that monkey off his back when it comes to beating Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and all that kind of stuff. Lamar Jackson certainly is no joke. Of course, we saw what he did last night, but if I had to pick right now, I'd say a Bills-Lions Super Bowl.
All right, Miles. Listen, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you, as always, for getting up and joining us, buddy.
Thanks a lot,
Miles. Absolutely, fellas. Y'all have a great day.
There you go. Miles Garrett, Fox 5.